Jr. Stafford rolling and throwing. Caught, caught, touchdown. Top of the screen, you've got Chase with Ramsey on and a little toss here. Mixon's going to throw. Open man, caught. Higgins, touchdown. On play action, finding room, going deep, and it's caught by Higgins. He goes in for the score. Jalen Ramsey fell down. And just like that, in 12 seconds, a 75-yard touchdown. Third and goal. Stafford fires. Knocked away. Flag thrown, though. Logan Wilson was there, and a flag comes in.
Holding. Defense, number 55. Going to be half the distance to the goal.
Pass. Got it. Touchdown. Burrow trying to keep it going. Gets spun down. Gets it away. And incomplete. It looked like P-Ron might have had a shot to make the grab. But the Rams now running down to celebrate with a defensive play. But the Rams were built to win the Super Bowl. And they have sealed the deal.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Super Bowl 56 is in the books, and the Los Angeles Rams beat the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20. Pretty good game overall. A lot of questionable calls late. I'll say on both sides, there were some weird calls. I know you played that, JD, one of Higgins' touchdowns where they said Jalen Ramsey just, when Al Michaels says Ramsey just falls down, was. Head was like turned, so he couldn't see the ball. So that was should have been offensive pass interference. The defensive holding call, I'm glad you played that, because that play should have, what we could argue the play all day long, that play should have never happened, because Whitworth was offsides. Andrew Whitworth had a false start. They didn't call it. Go back and watch if you can find it. He moves, he's backing up, but the ball is still not snapped. It was an obvious call. There were a lot of strange calls that were kind of missed. They weren't, they swallowed the whistle through most of the game. And then late in the fourth, we start calling penalty after penalty. So that was interesting. But let's talk about it, man. The Rams, what more can you say? I think the Rams, I tweeted this out and I got some arguments on it, but I want to talk about it. You know, as much as we talked about the free agent signings or even some of the trades in midseason, like the Matt Staffords and Odell Beckham Jr. and some Von Miller studs on defense, at the end of the day, the biggest stars on this team were shining the brightest when it mattered the most. That was Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp. Aaron Donald was a first-round pick. I believe Cooper was a third-round pick. And I said, hey, those draft picks, I know you don't agree because Elway had issues drafting for so many years, for the last several years, but those draft picks, if handled the right way, are valuable to your team. That's not to say it's not a good mix. It's not to say you can't get free agents to join your team, but I love the Rams. Everyone's been talking, oh, the Rams, they're happy with no, they don't use a lot of their draft picks. No, they don't. They don't. They were building up for this year. But when they did use their draft picks, they absolutely nailed them. Aaron Donald was a foundational player for this team. Cooper Kupp is a foundational player. I said was. Is that a Freudian slip? I don't know if he's retiring or not. But Cooper Kupp is a foundational player for this team. And that, again, that doesn't take away signing free agents and some of the trades they made to move on from those draft picks. You just wonder, okay, is this Rams team, they got that Super Bowl, is it going to be sustainable from here on out? Now that they're not rebuilding to the draft, certainly some questions. They're going to be losing their left tackle, more than likely. Aaron Donald kind of sounds like a guy who's got one foot out the door. And their head coach, Sean McVay, he's talking about being done at the age of 36. You know, before the Super Bowl at Media Day, he kind of sloughed it off as a joke, like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be around until I'm 60, if I keep at this level, because I love it so much. He said, I'm just kidding, but seriously. And then he kind of goes on and talks about how he's getting ready to get married. He wants to have kids and maybe a media career and all that, which he'll have all of that if he wants it. I applaud the guy for considering it. So many times we just think you get into the coaching industry and you're in it. That's it. That's your life is football. And here's Sean McVay kind of bucking that trend saying, yeah, my life is football, but that's the problem. I put too much into it. So I want to be able to do other things. And at 36, he might move on from the game. So you do have question marks surrounding whether or not the Rams are going to be going back next season. But listen, I'm applauding how they built it. But it's kind of like the Dodgers, isn't it? And you'll appreciate this, J.D. A lot of people like to throw this out about the Dodgers and say, oh, they just buy teams that are really good. They just go out and they have the money to do it. There's no cap space, so they just go out and buy teams. That's true. Buy players. That's true. They do bring in a lot of free agents, but they also have foundational players within their organization that they bring up through the system. So it is a healthy mix, which is kind of the way it should be. I've talked about Golden State, the Golden State Warriors. They built their team up organically for the most part. Their big three, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green were their foundational players. And they even won a championship based on that that formula. Well, they wanted to get more. And they ended up getting Kevin Durant to join the party. And they won. Then they win two more after that? Didn't Golden State win three? I think they won three. They won two with KD. So there is a mix. My whole point with the Broncos, and relating this back to the Broncos, there will be no mix if you trade all of your your three first round picks, a second rounder, and a third rounder, and a player. If you trade all that away for Aaron Rodgers or whatever, then you're not mixing in the draft, and you also aren't going to have a whole lot of money left if you bring over Rodgers and Davante Adams as part of that package. That could be a moot point anyway, because the Packers are doubling down, basically ready to give him the farm, man. They are going to give him whatever the hell he wants to stay put as the quarterback for the Packers, and as they should. If they run this back next year and they can sign back some of their key free agents, there's no reason to believe that the Packers wouldn't have a good shot to win the Super Bowl next year. Maybe even over the team that just won it because of all the question marks surrounding them. Do the Rams win without Aaron Donald last night? I mean, again, you could say that about a lot of people. Von Miller was tremendous. But again, if Aaron Donald is not part of this team next year, that's a big loss. And Von's going to be a free agent. And I do think Von at this stage of his career is more of a complimentary player. I think he's going to give you three or four games, five or six games where you're like, oh, that's like the Von of old. Well, for a quarter, we saw the Von of old. He was fast. He was quick. He was going underneath tackles. He was moving around just like we were used to seeing for so many years here in Denver. But I don't know that he stays with the Rams, you know, if Donald's not there and they're kind of in a retool stage. Offensively, they should be pretty good for the most part, again, replacing their left tackle. But, I mean, Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp, you keep those two guys intact, you're going to do something special. Cooper gets the MVP award, 8 receptions, 92 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He had the hat trick this year. He just capped it off. He led in receiving yards. He led in receptions, and he led in touchdowns. And then he was the MVP. This guy's already going down as one of the greatest wide receivers to ever play the game. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Speaking of Von Miller, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available. Go answer at theholeshow.com. Do you think Von Miller will be a Bronco next season? He's a free agent. I think he was very sentimental and respectful talking about the Broncos. In fact, he said he was playing that game last night for Demaryius Thomas, which was really cool. I didn't think... Look, I've always been a Von Miller fan. I will be forever, but I didn't think his stock could go up anymore as a person. Because I've never met the guy personally, but just some of the things I've seen, I've always liked. But he was so respectful in talking about the Broncos. You talk about Eric Weddle, he's trashing the Chargers, you know, like, hey, they showed me the light, and thanks for them for showing me the light so I could get out of there, da-da-da-da-da. You have Vaughn, on the other hand, that's like, I never wanted to leave Denver. I love Denver. I love that place. I'm a Bronco forever. He was still doing that even though the guy's in the Super Bowl. And he was kind of close to being MVP. I mean, if it wasn't for Cooper Kupp in that last drive... And again, if that didn't happen, maybe the Rams don't win, and we're not going to name one of the losers an MVP there. So go vote at the wholeshow.com, the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. 55% of the hooligans are saying no so far to 44% saying yes. I want to get your thoughts on that one. It was a fun game. Didn't like the halftime show. J.D., I know you did. You listened to some of this stuff. Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and all those guys were around when I was growing up, and Eminem when I was in high school. I'm a rocker, man. So, and again, I don't think it makes you an old fogey if you didn't like the halftime show. If you don't like hip hop, I'm gonna guess you did not enjoy yourself during the halftime show. But you're quite a bit younger than me, J.D., but you enjoyed it. You thought it was fun.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was a good mix compared to the last few, which have been even worse than this one. I mean, I don't think this one was bad at all. But it's a NFL trend, and really all sports. They're starting to trend towards the younger generations, I feel. Yeah. Trying to build that clientele back
well,
up.
Well, it's why the NFL is king. And I'm not going to fault. I mean, me personally, I don't necessarily like music during the halftime show. I just feel like it's the Ron Swanson effect. I said this on NoCo Now. Ron Swanson said, don't half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing. So I feel like the concert at halftime, the five-minute concert, is not, like, if I'm going to a Shinedown concert, man, I'm gearing up, Metallica, I'm, like, got my shirt on, I'm in the parking lot, I'm in line, we're like, hell yeah, and it's an hour build-up, and then we're in the seats, and we got the opening acts, and we're pumped, and then another hour later, here comes Metallica, and we are in this groove, and then now I've got 2 hours, 2.5 hours of Metallica, so I've spent, like, 5 hours now in this build-up concert mode, and now you want me to pack that all into 10 minutes? That's not my flavor. That's not for me. 50 Cent's hanging like a bat from the ceiling, and he's lip-syncing clearly. The microphone goes away from his mouth, and you can still hear the So, like, with me, it's, like, not bad. Even if it were my favorite band, though, I'd still probably feel the same way. I'd be like, it's just rushed.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The only thing I wish it was longer, but, I mean, what can you really do in a halftime show?
Well, it's already so long for the players. Like, I was listening to Aqib Talib talk about halftime. He's like, or the Super Bowl. He's like, everything's longer. Everything is. The timeouts are longer. Halftime's so much longer. The pregame's longer. Everything takes forever. So you have to lock in. So you have to be there mentally through this whole process.
And allegedly, I mean, I didn't fact check this, but I saw it on Instagram this morning. Apparently, Evan McPherson was out watching the halftime show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, he just left the clubhouse and went out and watched.
Wow. I mean,
as a kicker, he probably can. But.
Yeah, kickers, whatever. Unless he would have missed like a last second field goal. But the Rams get this one 23-20. I want to talk more Super Bowl 56 with you guys. Will Joe Burrow be back? I was shocked he was in that game to end it. If that was a regular season game, I don't think he would have with that knee. So what's that going to mean for his future, his immediate future at least? We got to talk Colorado State, though. I know it was Super Bowl weekend, but at what, 2 o'clock, right before the big game, CSU played Boise State. They go to overtime. The Rams find a way to get the dub, and they are now in the thick of things when it comes to this conference race, this blast of a conference race. It has been so much fun to watch the Mountain West this year. So we're going to have my friend, the Swole Cracker, Steve Ivey, big-time Rams supporter. He puts together a blog at Ram Nation, our friends at Ram Nation. He also bought, I gotta say this, he bought a puppy. He got a puppy, okay? He names his dogs after Rams players. That's just kind of his thing. He's going to reveal that to us on the other side. So we'll get that as well. I saw the pictures of the dog. Cute little pup, man. So this will be cool. Steve's going to join us in just a moment. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're talking Colorado State, Boise State. What a game. That one, I mean, personally, that was the better game of the day, even though the big game was the Super Bowl. But that CSU-Boise State game had everything. So we'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man, Brady Hall, and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
see, as much as I love AC/DC, I still don't think they could do a halftime show justice. I don't think anybody can. You got 5 minutes up there. It's going to be a shortened version, so who knows? Maybe I am an old fogey. I'm not sure, but I do want to shout out to Miranda Simpson. Having someone local's never been more important. She is your local State Farm insurance agent in the Fort Collins and Northern Colorado area. She's a Colorado State University grad. She's active with the CSU Ram Club. She's a big-time member there, so a big supporter of all things Colorado State. Call Miranda Simpson today if you're needing auto insurance, homeowners insurance, renter's insurance, life and business insurance throughout Northern Colorado. Miranda Simpson, State Farm Insurance, 970-223-7800. Joining me now from Ram Nation, the Swole Cracker himself, Steve Ivey. Steve, my friend, listen, the Super Bowl was fun. And seriously, I'm not just saying this because I'm a homer or anything, but the game of the day was CSU and Boise State. That was a blast.
Holy cow, Brady. It was a fantastic game. First of all, happy Valentine's Day. I hope
happy Valentine's Day to you, my friend.
Lovely time. I hope you spend time with your lovely bride today. So, but yeah, what a game. That was probably, from my perspective, the best game of the year. Both teams, I thought, played very, very well. And for CSU to come out with a win against a very strong Boise team, a top 40 team from Boise that was basically hitting on all cylinders. They shot 13 for 24 from three-point range. They were making everything. Somehow CSU managed to withstand that. And in the end, they came out on top doing what they needed to do to figure out a way to get their noses in front at the end.
Yeah, no question. It was a late game heroics there by a few people. It's funny, your usual suspects, David Roddy did his thing. He gets another whole show player of the week. I think this is number three for him. But at halftime, I kind of saw what the Rams were doing with Chandler Jacobs right before the half. And I thought, man, he might be the difference maker because they're having a really hard time guarding him off the dribble. And then, of course, he hit some big shots, a big three-pointer late, some big free throws, some big rebounds. It was really great to see Chandler Jacobs. Roddy was sensational, but I feel like Chandler was kind of the difference maker in this game.
Absolutely. Chandler really stepped up. You know, you talk about Roddy. Roddy played a very, very intelligent, mature game yesterday. He just took what the defense was giving them. He wasn't forcing anything. He missed a bunch of threes that were open, but all in all, he was doing his work inside, doing what he needed to do. And CSU ended up outscoring a very good Boise team, a big, strong Boise team in the paint. And that was critical. But a lot of that paint scoring came, as you said, from Chandler Jacobs. He hit that big three on that step back, but most of his work was done attacking the rim. He also grabbed two or three very important rebounds, one at the end of regulation that gave him the two free throws that gave the Rams a three-point lead. And then he got the big rebound on the winning bucket that Roddy scored on the putback. Chandler Jacobs rebounded a missed three by Tanjay. And they managed to figure out a way to put the ball in the bucket and take the lead. But that was Chandler was huge, and it was really wonderful to see because he has this uncanny. He's a very, very, very good player, trying to find his role. He's been up and down a little bit the last couple of weeks, but boy, did he step up yesterday.
No question about it. We're talking to Steve Ivey from Ram Nation. Okay, from your vantage point, from what you saw, Steve, late in that game, some are saying controversial. It was crazy there toward the end. I mean, getting those last-second shots or right before regulation. I mean, we go back and there was like added on 1.7 seconds left in this one. Somehow Boise State ends up with the basketball, even though it looks like he goes out of bounds. Kijab goes out of bounds. What did you see?
I saw contact. So I saw Isaiah Stevens going to the basket, getting the ball slapped away. I saw Kijab get the ball and Isaiah Stevens immediately go after it as well. And there was a little bit of contact, something that I suppose it could have been called, but you think about it, 75, 80 feet away from the basket inside the last 2 seconds in a tie game. Not a call to make at that point on the floor at that time. So they just let the contact go. And then they figured out a way to turn it into an inadvertent whistle instead of CSU possession. And I kind of get that, too, but I think that was just more of a way of saying, boy, did we screw up. And I think one of the officials might have screwed it up a little bit at the end. But in the end, it comes down to who's going to make the buckets that are going to win the game. And it wouldn't have been right to see that game decided on a foul 80 basket with a second and a half to go. That game needed to have an obvious ending, and it did with the Roddy putback.
No, I agree with you. I tend to agree with you. I really do. All right, so now, I mean, that was a huge game for Colorado State for so many reasons. It keeps them very much in the hunt for the regular season Mountain West title. Now a half a game behind Boise State. They still have Boise State to go again. Two games behind Wyoming. Wyoming cracked the top 25. They're sitting at number 22. This race has been an absolute joy to see. In the Mountain West, I feel like it's finally getting that national attention that it deserves.
Yeah, absolutely. When you talk about the kind of these referee controversies, no one would care about referee controversies if these games weren't so important between such good teams. I mean, people are fighting for the conference race. Boise is right there, CSU right there, Wyoming obviously in the lead. But I'll tell you what, the Mountain West over the last few weeks with these top teams, you look at the top six, and it's really emerging. And then some of the teams behind the top six are starting to play a little better basketball. I think that, you know, when we look at the past week, the underestimated win for CSU was the Nevada win on the road. Nevada had played San Diego State tough and lost by a bucket at the end in San Diego. And then they played CSU. CSU rolled them to a double-digit victory. And a few days later, Nevada goes into Utah State and absolutely beats up on the Aggies, beat them by about 15 points. They're starting to play really well. That was a very underestimated win, and that's not even a top six team. You're talking about this league going 8, 9, 10 teams deep where anybody on any given night can win. And it makes this next week really, really interesting with CSU at two teams that aren't considered contenders. You got New Mexico, and then you've got UNLV. We've seen what UNLV can do. They hammered CSU a couple of weeks ago in Moby, and we saw New Mexico give CSU a game and keep it within six in Moby. So both these games, even though they're not top six teams, both these games coming up this week are absolutely huge.
Oh, yeah, Steve. And, UNLV, they were up over Boise State at the half. Boy, the Broncos end up, they hang on to that one. But earlier in the weekend, I thought we were going to have an upset there before CSU took on the Broncos. But the Broncos held on. They went 69-63. UNLV's one of those teams. I mean, they can sneak up. And if Hamilton's having one of those nights and a few other things are clicking for this team, they can upset some really, really great basketball clubs.
You know, the one thing that people don't know about UNLV, and it's true with San Diego State, Boise, and Utah State, is UNLV is a very mature team. They're not young. They brought in a bunch of fifth-year transfers, and so they're one of the more mature teams in the nation. And whether you like it or not, that goes a long way in college basketball. A lot of coaches will tell you, get older, get better. And UNLV is a perfect example of that. They went out to the transfer portal and got old. And it's been a hard time maybe getting them to mesh, but they're starting to mesh a little better. And then when you get a leading scorer like a Bryce Hamilton is going for about 30 a game lately, they're dangerous to anybody right now. So, yeah, they're a heck of a good team right now.
Yeah, they really are. Steve, Joey B, the real AD, says, Steve Ivey, the best damn hoops guest on Colorado Sports Radio. He also wants to know, Steve, do I go with Swedish Fish or Twizzlers for the next CSU men's hoops game?
Twizzlers are always the right answer. Joey knows that.
I figured you'd say something like that. All right, so Steve, I got to talk to you about this one. This is such a cool thing that you're doing. I saw your picture, or maybe it was a video of the pup, and this is something that you do, right? You name your this is like a tradition of yours. You name your dogs after Colorado State men's basketball players.
Yeah, we started well before Colorado State. This is our fourth golden retriever. I've named them after college basketball players since our first one in 1983. his name was Rex after Rex Morgan, who played for Jackson. My second one was Trajan Langdon, named after Trajan Langdon, who played for Duke. And then we got to CSU in 2011, we got a pup, and we named him Ogie after Andy Ogaday, who was a pillar of the CSU rebuild project under Tim Miles. And so it was time to get a new puppy to go. We still have Ogie. He's 11 years old, but we wanted to get him a companion for his later years. And so we went to our Ogie's breeder, and we found a puppy, and we love him, and we brought him home on Saturday. And we're ready to reveal the name.
I'm ready for it, man. Okay, so walk us through the process here, because I know there's a lot of players on this team that you're high on, and rightfully so. There's so many fun players to follow, so many great guys on this program. So take us through the process, and let us know what you decided on.
So here's how it goes. I owe the start of this to David Roddy. Roddy would be a great name. Anything after Isaiah Stevens, who happens to be my favorite player. But a year ago, when I was covering CSU for RamNation.com, I did a post-game interview. I believe it was after one of the Fresno State games at Moby. And a certain player had a really great defensive game. And David Roddy referred to him as a dog. So the light bulb went on in my head when I named the next puppy. I need to consider this player. And the other thing we wanted to do was we wanted to honor somebody. This is, it's fun for us to do this, but... you were talking earlier about the Broncos and the need to build things organically. We wanted to honor one of the guys that we think is one of the pillars of the program, and that was the very first guys that came in under Nico Medved. Nico has developed this program organically. We have two transfers on the team, Baylor Hebb, who came from Loyola, and obviously Chandler Jacobs from Dallas Baptist. But for the most part, this is an organic build, and the two pillars of this program were Adam Thistlewood and Kendall Moore, who came and played as freshmen. The person I'm referring to as the dog, who had a great defensive game, is the undersized, and from my perspective, the toughest pound-for-pound player CSU has, Kendall Moore. So we have named the dog. His father's name is Klondike, so he'll be known as on his papers as Klondike's Kendall Moore. But the other interesting thing about Kendall is his nickname is Mook, and so we will call the dog Mookie. So we have Mookie, but on his papers, he's Klondike's Kendall Moore. So, Kendall, thank you for being you. Thank you for being one of the pillars. Thank you for being one of the absolute tough guys and for being a dog. We hope you get a chance to meet Mookie at some point, but we are so excited that we have a dog named after you now.
I love it, man. Susan and Cheryl love it too, man. That is awesome. I love that story too. I love the way you get to it. That's fantastic stuff from you, man, and well deserved. I love Kendall Moore. I mean, he deserves all the credit, that we can possibly give this guy. Even if he has some great games, he has some games where maybe the point total's not there. But at the end of the day, you're exactly right, Steve, that this guy has been a pillar. This is kind of when this whole thing started up for CSU, and he was one of those pillars for Colorado State for these last few years.
Yeah, I watch when I watch him play, there are times when he gets switched on to bigs, and you'll see him on a 6'10", 240-pound guy. And Kendall's listed at 6 feet, and I don't think he's quite 6 feet, but he's also listed at 150 pounds, and I think that's accurate. He'll go against guys 80 or 100 pounds heavier and almost a foot taller, and he'll tough his way in the post, and he will deny entry passes left and right. He's an incredibly physical player and an incredibly tough player, and so, yeah, what a dog.
I love it, man. Joey B. texted and said, all of Northern Colorado can rest easier after this announcement. Well done, Swole. This was great. I know you tweeted out some pictures and everything. I think it's a fitting name for sure, man, and I'm glad you could share it with us here on the show today.
Brady, thank you. Thank you for letting me share it too and for giving me. I decided we'd give you the exclusive We had hoped to take the dog to one of the practices, but it's not recommended until he gets all his shots that he spends much time with people. So he'll get to meet the team in about a month or so.
It's an absolute honor. Is that him back there, by the way? It's an absolute honor, my friend.
That was him yakking, yes.
So he's wanted to make the announcement, too. That's fantastic. Steve, my friend, we love you, bro. We love everything that you do. Love reading your stuff. Love your passion for Colorado State. And nobody better to talk to when it comes to specifics and really the fan circuit surrounding Colorado State. So we appreciate you, my friend.
Brady, thanks so much for having me on again. I'd love to do this and love talking Rams. Hopefully we'll have a great week. Hopefully both Wyoming and CSU will take care of business this week, and then we'll get that great game in Moby next Wednesday. That should be an absolute barn burner.
Cannot wait. Cannot wait. All right, my friend, we'll talk to you soon. Steve Ivey, the Swole Cracker with Ram Nation. Mookie. Official. I love it. Absolutely love it. He said he wanted to reveal it on the program. I'm all in for that. It's an absolute honor. Steve is one of the good guys, no question. 41 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out of here real fast and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the show. Shout out to our friends at Weldworks. I tell you every Friday for sure that there's going to be a new beer release at noon. So just like if you're a beer drinker, if you're a big time craft beer guy or girl, or you're just, you know what, you occasionally go to check out the craft brewery scene. I'm telling you, man, there's no better place to go. The atmosphere is wonderful. And you got an opportunity to try out some fantastic beers, courtesy of Weldworks Brewing. We love those guys over there, everything that they're about and what they do. It's dialed in beer. So do me a favor when you stop by, tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by PD Synergy. All right, I got this here. There's a group of fans. I think they're the Outlaws of Moby. They go to every game. They're wearing like their cowboy hats and bandanas and stuff. They sit courtside. Heck of a following. Heck of a group, a fan group. So they've been trying to raise money to get to Vegas for the Mountain West tournament. And they were getting there. Not quite where they wanted to be yet. Nico Medved and his wife, Erica Medved, dropped a huge contribution to make it happen. They wanted to make sure that they got to Vegas because they're huge supporters. Absolutely great. They tweeted out, the Medved family has to be the sweetest people on earth. A generous donation from Coach Nico Medved and Erica Medved has pushed us to reach our goal. You warmed our hearts tonight. Thank you guys for the support, and we'll see you in Vegas, courtesy of the Outlaws of Moby. They raised over $1,500 to get themselves to the Vegas tournament. Coach Medved responded on Twitter, you're more than welcome. You all bring great energy and vibes to us and CSU basketball. See you in Moby next week and Vegas in March. That's awesome. That is just flat out amazing. How many times have you seen a coach and his wife contribute out of their own pocket to get some fans that I don't know if they know them personally. They probably met him. I don't know how well they know them. But to get some fans, and these are damn good fans, I might add. You want these kind of people at your games because they define them. You know, you get these fan bases where it's like, oh, that's the Outlaws of Moby. Like, that is awesome, guys. And Medved recognizes that. He looks at that and says, these guys are like part of Moby now. They're like caricatures of Moby Arena. And we need to bring that with us for the tournament. That is absolutely marketing at its best. And Nico and his wife, they're doing great things just because they're great people. But that's marketing, because you know what's going to happen when they're playing in the games and they're on television? How many times are we going to pan over to the Outlaws of Moby and see these dudes? And there might even be a feature about them. It's wonderful. How great is that? So excited. Good for them. Maybe we'll get to Maybe we'll get somebody from one of the outlaws on the show at some point. I think we should. We should make that happen. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. Your thoughts on Super Bowl 56? Are the Rams going to be breaking up after this thing? Will the Bengals get back? Joe Burrow has a journey in front of him just to get back to the Super Bowl with all these great quarterbacks, all these great teams stepping up. We'll talk about that and so much more. We didn't get to Aaron Rodgers last week. We're getting the MVP and, you know, some of the awards lists and all that stuff. It does sound like the Packers are doubling down. You're going to make sure they can keep Aaron Rodgers. So we'll talk about all that and more. The Nuggets had a huge win over the weekend, too. They're back at it tonight against the Magic. So many sports to talk about, so little time. We'll do our best. Final segment of the first hour coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2. On 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 5 minutes until the top of the hour. Second hour, we'll talk to Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears, as well as some heroics from Nikola Jokic. It was kind of cool. David Roddy had a nice block for CSU to really solidify the win. I don't know if that shot's going in anyway, but Jokers, boy, that block was something special as the Nuggets pulled off the upset against Toronto. That was crazy. So I want to talk about that coming up in the second half. The Broncos' future. They have the sixth best odds to win the Super Bowl next year. What am I missing? What do the wise guys know that I don't? Probably a lot. But that can only mean one thing. If the Broncos have the sixth best odds, according to the Denver Post this morning, then does that mean a star quarterback is on the way? Because it's not based on how this roster is constructed right now, unless you really think Nathaniel Hackett can turn water into wine, so to speak, with a guy like Drew Locke. I'm just absolutely floored by this. Plus 1,600 odds. So if you bet $100 today on the Broncos to win the Super Bowl, you'd win $1,600. That's nuts, man. Sixth best odds in the NFL. So what does that mean? What does it look like for this team? Now we start the free agency process, all leading up to the draft and so on and so forth. But the Broncos have some work to do. They got their coach figured out. He's building his coaching staff, which I'm really digging the mix of youthful new ideas mixed in with guys that have been there a while and can add their expertise as well. I'll be curious to see how that works out. But the next, we still got to see what the owner situation is like. Mark Kislow's going off doing the prediction thing in the Denver Post, and he kind of said most of the things he said were chances of happening are slim to none. But he did mention the fact that, hey, maybe a Peyton Manning-led group is running the team, and Manning's the director of operations or something like that. Very interesting to see how that one's going to go down. Second hour, we're going to talk to Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears. Love talking to him about everything UNC and also some Nuggets thrown in to the mix as well. Nuggets, Super Bowl 56, all that and more. Whole show, second hour, coming up next.